text for our press this morning came from the first lesson that Nathan read. And I'll read again verses 12 to 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be representing God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. This is the text. Most of us have had the experience of getting a new car. Even a used car is new to you if it replaces one you've had for a long time. Buying a new car means selecting the things that you want and you can afford. And in most places, it means trading in or disposing of the old car. I'm not trying to be a car salesman today, but our text invites us to get a new life. We need to look around and see what's available and trade in our old life for a new one. Paul in our text is writing to new Christians in the Greek city of Corinth to correct several false teachings that had arisen among them. One of these was the denial of the resurrection of the body. We say it every time we recite the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Do we think about what we say, and do we believe it? History is full of examples of how we have held false beliefs because they seem right to us, and rejected truths because they didn't seem right. People long ago thought they saw the sun move across the sky. It meant that the earth was still and the sun moved around it. And when Christopher Columbus set out west across the ocean, many thought he would fall off the edge of the flat earth. The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is against all human reason and experience. We've never seen anyone rise from the dead for good. And so the resurrection of Jesus is hard to believe. Even Jesus' disciples didn't believe it until they saw him and touched him. Greeks in Paul's time, thanks to philosophers like Plato, only believed in the continued existence of the soul after death. They spoke of the spirit being released from the body at death, but denied the resurrection of the body. According to the National Church Life Survey in 2021, only 44% of Australians believe that Jesus physically rose from the dead. But Paul gives us four arguments which get to the heart of the matter. His purpose is to say, if you're a Christian and do not believe in the bodily resurrection from the dead, then you've got real problems. His four arguments are, one, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ himself has not been raised. If Christ has not raised, then we worship a defeated and powerless Saviour. If Christ is not raised, your faith is in vain, and you're still in your sins. In other words, the cross means nothing without the resurrection. If Christ is not raised, then those who die in the faith are lost. Paul is saying that without the resurrection of the body, life's a bitch and then you die. Game over. Paul finally says then that those who hope in Christ are to be pitied, because without the resurrection, we've all been conned. But Jesus did rise, and these four propositions concerning a non-resurrection are totally shattered. And in Christ's victory over sin and death, his cross and resurrection, we see his power and lordship most clearly. So Paul gives us four counter-arguments in support of bodily resurrection. Christ has risen. There are literally hundreds of witnesses to this fact. Earlier in this same chapter of 1 Corinthians, we heard last week, Paul argues, Jesus was seen by Cephas, that is Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then all of the apostles, and then last of all, he was seen by me also, as of one born out of due time. Secondly, Paul says that Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Christ, Paul argues, is the prototype, the example of the resurrection from the dead of all believers. We too shall rise bodily, just like Jesus. That's the argument that Paul makes. And thirdly, Paul argues that because Jesus rose from the dead, God has accepted his work of redemption and justification on the cross. And finally, Paul argues that God has called us to be his own, and that on the last day, we too shall be ushered into eternity, body and soul, completely free from the effects of sin. So, through the work of Christ, we are offered a new life. What Jesus did is not just an example for us when we want to trade in our old life for a new one. When we buy a new car, there's a cost involved. We have to find the finance for the purchase. When Jesus gives us a new life, he also provides the finance. He paid the debt by his death on the cross and brought new life for us. This new life comes from Christ. It's already been through death and survived. And we read in verse 20 of our text, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. Christ's victory over death is the guarantee, the promise of things to come, that assures us that we who have been baptized into him have a new life that is also free from the threat of eternal death. As today's gospel tells us, we'll no longer be hungry, but we'll be fed. We'll no longer cry, but we'll laugh. We'll no longer be poor, but we'll be blessed with the riches of heaven. Our resurrected bodies will not only be in the presence of God, but they'll be perfect. We'll no longer have health problems associated with getting older, or problems caused by others who mistreat us. Nor will there be problems of sadness or depression or loneliness. This is what gives faith its meaning. We have a goal and an end in sight for those lives that sometimes make us so miserable. We know that these are temporary lives and temporary bodies, and that one day they will be replaced with what God intended, perfect bodies and lives which reflect his glory. The risen Christ is the living hope for you and me today. Not only do we have a meaningful life here and now, we will also have an exalted life in the hereafter. All of this happens because of the compassion, the love, the care, and the concern of our blessed Saviour, Jesus Christ. We're all familiar with the story of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. They were friends of Jesus. Lazarus died, and Mary and Martha wanted Jesus to bring him back to life. And Jesus did just that. Jesus came to the home of Mary and Martha a few days after Lazarus' death. Jesus took him time so that God would be glorified. And this is where we find in this story that Jesus wept. We also discover Jesus' teaching about the resurrection by the question he asked about the resurrection. When Jesus spoke to Martha, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" This is before Jesus, of course, was put to death. And they answered, "Yes." Today, we also answer yes to that same question. Yes, we believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. We believe this scriptural truth not by our own will, but by God's grace. By God's grace that the Holy Spirit has worked faith in our hearts. Now, we don't know when the day of judgment and resurrection will come. We're told it will come like a thief in the night and without warning. So does that mean we can relax and not worry about it? No. Instead, we live our lives always praising God and living as people who one day want to hear their Lord say, "Welcome home." We need to remember that the news of the resurrection isn't just for us. We as God's children want to tell everyone we meet of God's love and forgiveness. We don't want anyone to hear from the Lord, "Depart from me." But we want all to enjoy the resurrected bodies that we know we're going to get on the day our Lord returns. God blesses Christians. This is not a promise that Christians will always be successful or wealthy or influential. God may give us these things to advance the gospel. God often blesses us so that we might be a blessing to others. But the blessing is not a hope for this world as much as it is a hope for the life which lasts. If you have found that God has blessed you, use his gifts to give God glory. Use his gifts to spread the gospel. If you find life is a challenge, remember that this life is passing away. And hope in this: God will not permit you to suffer beyond what you can bear, but his grace will always provide for all your needs. As you hope in God and trust in him, your life will be a light that guides the way to the cross of Christ, which is our hope of forgiveness, of peace with God, and our hope of the resurrection of the dead, and believers rising to life everlasting. Be risen. God in Christ has made you a new creation. In grace through the forgiveness of sins, God has set you on your feet. Live as God's resurrection people, always sharing with others the good news of Jesus' death for all of our sins and also of Jesus risen. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.